Well, I'm going to be real honest with you. I didn't know I was any different from other people until somebody pointed at me one day and said, "You're crippled and you can't do what I do." And I didn't know what the word crippled meant. You know, one of the things I love doing in my job is just going out and being a light and showing the world that I'm all right. You know, I might look different. I might look broken. I'm a blessed man. I'm a better man in my struggle. I'm just thankful that God had a purpose for me, as he has a purpose for all of us. I'm just glad that he revealed it to me, that in this struggle, greatness is before me.
Hey, J.W. Oliver with another edition and Do Hard Stuff. And man, I got a really special guest. He's a friend of mine, Wayne Holt. He has Stitches and Staples Upholstery. That's how we originally met. Wayne, how are you?
I'm doing wonderful.
Yeah, great,
enjoying the
man.
Enjoying the weather. I think fall's right around the corner.
Beautiful day in Texas, that is for sure. Well, just a little backstory. I was looking for somebody to do some commercial upholstery work for me. I had just moved in the DFW area from Wichita Falls, and I was directed. I think I just found you with a Google search, or maybe it was found it through the phone book. I don't know who. Maybe he had a phone book back then. I don't remember. And I found him. He didn't live too far from me. He was over in Highland Village, kind of the Louisville area, now down in Haslett. And when I arrived, I was quite surprised to meet a gentleman who was in a wheelchair. And next thing I know, he's showing me his boat that he wakeboards behind and drives his boat. And I'm thinking, is this guy crazy? He's got a boat out there and he's got cars and he's running a business. I'm like, who's really running this business? And then I realized that you had Wonder Wayne, as he calls himself, which is true. So, Wayne, your story is amazing. And first of all, I gotta warn you, folks, he's full of Jesus. So if you're not looking for a little dose of Jesus, you came to the wrong place, because you're going to get it from Wayne. And Wayne, how'd you get – I don't want to talk about your business right now.
Right.
Tell me just – because you don't use the word H-A-N-D-I-C-A-P. We don't like that word. It's an ugly word. You use the word thorn in your side, or your – what'd you call it earlier? You said it was a –
My struggle.
Your struggle. Tell me a little bit. Start from your first memory of your struggle, and give me a little background and where you're from, things like that.
Gotcha. Well, I'm a native Texan. I was born in Arlington, and back in 1966, in my house, my fireplace fell off the wall and fell on top of me. So I got a spinal cord injury in 1966. Before they knew what spinal cord injuries were.
So wait a minute. So you're not even a year old?
I was two and a half. I'm 62.
Oh, you're 2 and a half. Okay.
Yeah. So I was born in 63, but when I was 2 and a half, fireplace fell on top of me. My mom was in the kitchen. I was in the living room. She heard a loud crash, came in the living room. There was a pile of bricks, and my sister was laying outside of it. My mom knew I was in the pile. She dug me out and raced me to the hospital. And I ended up at Scottish Rite Hospital, and they didn't know what to do with spinal cord injuries because they didn't even have that definition back then. But they put me in the spina bifida at Scottish Rite Hospital here in Dallas. So had great doctors, and they did a lot of surgeries, and they fixed what they could, learned, how they could better my life. And you know, originally they told me I'd never walk or anything ever again. And at the age of 2 and a half, I didn't hear what they said. So in a short period of time, I got back up and started walking, and ended up with braces. I call them the Forrest Gump braces, ended up with crutches. And I just was a child wanting to have fun and live life. So I just did it.
So you figured out at 2 and a half, and as you started to probably start to remember things then, that hey, other kids were running, they're riding their bikes, they're riding their motorcycles, they're playing, they're running the street, you just figured out, hey, I'm going to join them, so whatever that looks like, I just need to do that too.
And that's what I did. I got tired of watching them having all the fun, so I just started trying different things, and I learned how to ride that bicycle, learned how to ride that skateboard. Did things differently. My dad let me sit on the motorcycle, learned how to ride the motorcycle, got my motorcycle license when I was 15 years old with my crutches strapped on the side of the motorcycle. And I'm not for sure who was more surprised, me or the police officer that followed me and gave me my driver's license when I was 15 years of age with crutches.
Wow, just absolutely amazing. And so we're very near the same age, a couple years younger. So yeah, so you're growing up in those times. Did you ever really see yourself as handicapped? Did you ever look at other people and I'm sure you must have had moments where you thought, I wish, I wish, I wish, I wish, I wish, right? I'm sure that crosses your mind at some point. Is that right?
Well, I'm gonna be real honest with you. I didn't know I was any different from other people until somebody pointed at me one day and said, "You're crippled and you can't do what I do." And I didn't know, I didn't even know what the word crippled meant, so I had to ask my mom, "What is crippled?" Because I was called that today. I was probably five, and my mom was very sweet. She told me that I was different and I was going to have to learn how to do things differently. So I took that to heart, and that's exactly what I did.
Wow. And tell me how that was going through high school. Did you find yourself a pretty normal junior high school experience in terms of how you were to assimilate? I'm sure you had lots of friends. You're a very affable, likable guy, so I'm sure you had lots of friends growing up at that time as well.
I had challenges as other people did. I couldn't play sports, and we had tetherball back then. And the things that I could play and compete with, and as guys, we like to compete. So I arm wrestled, and I did very well at that. I played tetherball, and anything and everything I could do, I just really put my heart into it. And over a lifetime, whatever it was that I went to do, I put my heart into it, and I found that I could do anything and everything. I just had to believe it, have faith, and go through the process of learning how will I go about doing this. And now it's a second nature for me now.
Wow. Yeah. Well, and that's the purpose reason I've got you on here is because you and I were talking a little bit about this. I mean, you have a big issue that you've turned it into just a small issue. And I think so many people have little small issues that they turn into big issues. And that only happens because we focus on the problem instead of focusing on the solution. You take as you were a child, Wayne, growing up. You said, I want to ride a bike. You didn't say, well, I can't ride a bike because that's what you could have easily said. Well, yeah, I can't ride a bike. Or your mom could have said, oh, Wayne, you'll never ride a bike. I'm sure she didn't. She must have been encouraging you to get on that bike and fall over a few times and scrape your knees and your elbows and everything else. And today I think it's so easy. People have these small issues and they say, I'm not able to do that. But you're really just the opposite of that. I mean, living your day to day in a wheelchair. Today, which we're going to get into that because there's so much really cool stuff around that. But talk about maybe you've got how many kids do you have?
I have one son and one granddaughter.
One son and a granddaughter. So you've led a normal, active, married life with kids and grandkids, and really have learned to adapt to that, if you will. No pun intended, to adapt, to adapt it, to adapt. And so what did you do in your early in your career? I know what you did now, but what did you do early in your career?
Well, and I'll be real honest with you. When I was young, and when I got into high school, that was when I started noticing that I was different than other people, and kind of noticed the looks. And when the girls kind of came around, I realized that I wasn't as good as other people. So I started, what is that word? I tried to be good enough for other people. So that was when I started. Learned about passion and fire, and about trying to be likable, and try to earn my way into whatever it was. If it was friendships or relationships or dating, even it led into finding a job. I went to college for a short period of time, and I grew up in the hospital so much that I kind of got pushed through the school system. And I didn't have very good study habits. So when I went to college, I realized that I did not have study habits, and college was very difficult. So I took the long road, and then I found employers didn't really want to hire somebody. At that time, I walked on crutches, didn't even have a wheelchair, haven't had my leg amputated yet. And I got a lot of turndowns, dating, jobs. And then I figured out I needed to go over and beyond to get that up. I just wanted somebody to give me a chance. And my dad gave me a beautiful briefcase, and I packed it full of books, made it about 40, 50 pounds. And I took it with me to interviews, and I'd sit it down in front of me. And then people would come in, they'd look at me, catch them off guard, and they would, want to get me in and get me out. So they'd reach down and grab my briefcase to pick it up to get me in and get me out of there. And then they'd have a difficulty picking up that briefcase. And then they would ask me, who carried this in here? And I said, I brought it in here and I'm going to carry it out of here. So I did get a little bit of an attitude.
That's funny.
So,
That's a good one. Yeah.
well, and that's the truth. And I started, I apologize. I started recognizing that I had some challenges, and it was like, how am I going to get beyond these challenges? And I just started overperforming. Whatever it was, earlier you my nickname in the mortgage industry, I worked for Wells Fargo, and I created onelegedwonder.com, and I was a one-legged wonder at Wells, and I differentiated myself from being a one-legged person and put your best foot forward, can-do attitude. And I just started using some funsy things to kind of break the ice to help people. And they hadn't experienced me before. I'm the one and only. I mean, I'm made the way that I am for a reason. And I just started utilizing that to my advantage, and it worked out great. And even today, I tell people that I only have to get one foot through the door. You have to get two.
So funny. I've got a gentleman I served on a board with. It made me think of a funny thing. I served on a ministry board with him, and he was the volunteer as the CFO or the accountant. And when he had lost his big toe in a lawnmower accident, and so on one, I think it was his right foot, he'd lost his big toe, and so he would sit there and say things like, well, I think I just might dip my big toe in the water here and see how it feels, and just had all these little funny things. And so when I heard you
Right.
say put my, but that's how you get through things, right? You
Yes.
and it also helps other people quickly get okay to say, it's okay. We can talk about my issue that got my thorn in my side. We can talk about those things. It's openly. You can ask me. I'm not ashamed of it. I'm not scared of it. It's just part of my everyday life. And so that probably helped you get through most of that stuff, Wayne.
So I learned to help them get past it. So
Good way of putting
whatever
it.
it was, if they had that question or if they had concerns or whatever, I would just try to break the ice, get past that, and get focused on whatever the challenges were, or whatever it was that we were looking at. And one of the things that I like to use today is the physical difference. I mean, there's a lot of differences in this world, and some people have hard times with things that they don't understand or are different. So I like to say I have a physical difference and a different way of doing things. Doesn't mean I can't do something. It means I have to physically do it differently than you do. And if I have to show you how to do it, I will.
Wow. Yeah. Well, just like picking up that suitcase, I'm sure, or your briefcase, I'm sure most people thought you didn't bring that in here. There's no way you carried that in here. You couldn't have carried that in here. It's too heavy. So, but you did it. You figured it out. You found a way. And I think that's what life is about, right? It's about
Yes.
dealing with whatever obstacle God has put in your way. And whether it's physical, mental, emotional, family, financial, whatever that is, and learning how to get through it. My favorite verse in the Bible when I've been completely bankrupt and broke and struggling with different things has been James 1, 2 through 7, when it says, I count it pure joy when I go through various trials, knowing that the testing of my soul produces endurance. And I think, or testing my faith produces endurance. And I think that's true. We have to count it pure joy in knowing that there's things we get, and we literally say, thank you, Lord, for what you've given me. And I'm sure I know you well enough that you've turned it around and being able to say, Lord, thank you for what you've given me. Thank you for the ability to be a witness to others. Thank you for putting me in the position I am. But I got to transition a little bit. Because here's what people would be freaked out. And we're going to have a bunch of photos we've been putting in already, and we're going to continue to do that so people can see some of this.
Okay.
You wakeboard, you drive your own a boat. I think you told me you even take your boat to the water. You can get it in the water. You can put it in the water by yourself. You can get in the
Yep.
boat and drive it. You ski. You just told me you've been, since you were 50, you've been snow skiing and you ski black. You skied your first black diamond. That stuff is, because I know you, and I'm sure people are going to see some pictures now and think, I don't know about that. You've just challenged yourself to be able to do many different things. Talk about some of those things and how you've had to adapt to that as well.
So probably I have to back up and tell you that, part of my faith and my hope in doing things is, when I was a child, I had a lot of surgeries. I don't have an exact count. It could have been 60, 80, it could have been more. But the one thing I know is and this was as a child at 2.5 and 5 and 6 and 7, all the way up to 18 at Scottish Rite Hospital. And I'd wake up from every surgery, and my dad would be at the foot of my bed praying. And I learned through my dad and experiencing watching him praying for me, because he was asking God to put it onto him. So the fireplace that fell down, there were some cracks, and my dad was aware that there was some cracks on the wall, but he never knew that the fireplace would come off the wall. So I think, he felt a little responsible, and he wanted God to give it to him. But and just watching my dad always praying, and so I learned to pray, and I learned to have hope, and then I learned to believe, and then things kept happening, and then I got faith, and then God just really showed me that if I'd let go of the things that I had no control of and trust him, that he would lead me and guide me and show me how to do things. And I've been doing that my whole life. So, I'm not scared to do anything. I mean, if it's drive my car, my business, I have a truck, I have a box trailer, I move restaurant booths in a wheelchair. It's either on my crutches with my artificial leg or my wheelchair. And, I even have a friend in a wheelchair, and we move things out of restaurants in wheelchairs into box trailers. And people turn around and kind of look at things and say, "You need some help." And it's kind of funny, if you see two guys in a wheelchair coming in and out of a box trailer that are doing things, they don't really need any help. Why are you even asking, do you need help, unless they just feel the urge to ask that? And,
Looks like they're doing just fine. Yeah, they just loaded that whole bench up out of the restaurant. Yeah, that's exactly right.
So it's great joy to do the impossible. And when people come up and ask a question, is that we can, lightly share and testify to his goodness, and point. This isn't me. This is the way that my Lord and Savior made me. He made me to be light and hope, and to I like to say, be a hope carrier and show people, regardless of your circumstances, God's bigger than your circumstances, and he can help you move those mountains. And I enjoy moving mountains with Jesus. It's
Wow.
great. It's great
Wow.
joy, because things happen sometimes, and I stop and I look back, and I'm like, I just got to see a miracle and see the impossible done. One, because somebody loves me. Through that struggle and that thorn in my side, they showed me perseverance and faith, and over and over and over, things get done, and that's because of his goodness and his faithfulness. And then I just have to trust that. And when I run into obstacles, sometimes it's how do I do this, or sometimes it's stop and wait and pray for a second. And sometimes somebody shows up, because the few times we're having some struggles, kind of stopped and trying to figure things out, and a couple of football players show up, and I'm like, oh, okay, great. God sent an army today, Sometimes we get to do it, and sometimes we get to wait and have faith and look around, and he sends an army, and that's how
Well,
things get done.
and we do know that he does send us what we need when we need it and at the right time, right? And
That is
he's never early, he's never late, he's always right on time. So that's exactly.
always on
Tell
time.
me some of this things. How long have you been in business for yourself now?
We are just a little past 15 years.
Okay. So 15
So I
years being in business.
started it a little bit longer than that. I did it at my house in my garage for 3 years, and then
And that's where I
the
met you.
business,
Yep.
in Highland Village, and the work was pouring in. There was no place to put it anymore, so I met my landlord, great guy, and I got my storefront, and it just continued to pour in. And I'm a yes guy, yes. And then I take off that yes hat and I put on the work hat, and I'm like, that sales guy just sold way too many things. And over time, I had to learn how to say yes, and then I had to learn how to say no. And I'll be honest with you, I can do anything and everything. I'm very optimistic, but God was like, hey, you don't have to do everything. But I had to start learning what was mine and what was somebody else's.
Well, that's just simply amazing what you've done with the business. I've seen you work. So just to kind of put it all into perspective and kind of get to our main point, you've taken what was just an inconvenience. I think that's even a good word. Just you had an inconvenience in your life that you always had to deal with, but I know for a fact you've rode motorcycles. You've water skied, you drive a boat. I know you drive a car. I know you can hook up your trailer by yourself. I know you can, I know you've upholstered booths at restaurants. I've seen it on your Facebook. Wayne's great, got a follow on your Facebook of, and you're working for some big jobs. You do some big group stores like Dick's Sporting Goods. You're doing new finish out for stores like that. We've talked about that. Snow skiing. What are some of the other few more things you can think of that people just wouldn't believe that you've been able to do being in a wheelchair?
The jobs that we get offered, we got to take care of the Omni Frisco PGA about a month ago,
All
and
right, yeah.
I started off saying yes and doing everything. I am strictly a commercial upholsterer. I do manufacturing, and when the phone rings, I don't go fishing. The fish jump in my boat. I throw the small ones back out, and I keep the big ones. And
It.
I live I'm really blessed to have an extraordinary life. There's never a dull moment. I do have a lot of big accounts, and again, they're blessings. I mean, you take care of the small things, God gives the increase. And I just stayed focused on when it is slow and the phone doesn't ring, that means I get a day off and I get to enjoy some rest and peace, because I can work 6 days a week. I try to honor and rest on the seventh day. I do get 911s from time to time if it's the middle of the night. Some of the restaurants, if it's Mi Casinas or Blue Goose, I probably have about 100 restaurants here in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. I'm actually working on Earl's Kitchen at Legacy West after we get off the phone, and a
Yeah,
little
no
job
kidding.
for
Yeah.
Little Greek. And I mean, we. And the fun thing for doing restaurant upholstery is I eat where I work at, and I eat at all the best places in Dallas. Dallas-Fort Worth, I eat at all the great places.
Well, I think that kind of sums it up. I mean, here you are. You said something interesting. And people are not, I mean, you've done work for me. Back in the day, you recently even, I'm sure it was, you probably should not have done it because it was a small job. You reupholstered some cushions for my place in Costa Rica. You did some cushions out
Yes.
there that we have put on. Yeah, they're magnificent. My wife, they were fine. She just wanted a different color, and you did them all. But here's the interesting thing. People aren't going to you and allowing you to do business, Wayne, and because they feel sorry for you. They're coming to you because you're a man of your word. You produce it on time. You do good work. You do it at a fair price. And that's what people are looking for. So I think God, that's another way God has just really blessed you and shown that He rewards those who honor Him. You do that every Sunday. I know. In fact, I've been to church with you before. We used to go to the same church. And you do that on a regular basis. So, Wayne, anything to wrap it up that you would tell people when they're dealing with things? Because I think you're just a magnificent guy. I put you up there on the pedestal. You're definitely a role model for so many people to aspire to. But anything you'd say to wrap it up?
You know what I would tell you is, things happen to people, and it can be depressing. We can mourn losses, and those things are temporary. They do pass, and then you just pick yourself back up, brush the dust off, and get going again. Because most things that, if I do not really get depressed, I get worn down, and when I don't rest, I realize I have those moments, but it's temporary. I get my rest, say my prayers, and the next morning it's a brand new day, and I just go at it. So anytime things are not right, I mean, they're temporary. It's just a moment, and we just have to deal with it, and then brush the dirt off, and then get going again. One of the things I love doing in my job is just going out and being a light and showing the world that, I'm all right. I might look different, I might look broken. I'm a blessed man. I'm a better man in my struggle, and I'm just thankful that God had a purpose for me, as he has a purpose for all of us. I'm just glad that he made it, revealed it to me, that in this struggle, greatness is before me.
Yeah, well, I think people should realize you're one of those guys. I know people with perfectly fit, perfectly healthy, doing perfectly fine, and you get around them and you feel like you've just been drugged through the mud because they're just bringing you down with their depression and negative statements. And you've never done that. You've always been uplifted to be around. I could be around you all the time. If you don't find Wayne on Facebook, he's at Wayne Holt. I think if you Googled Wayne Holt and probably put Stitches and Staples in there together, I think he'll come right up. And fun
Yes.
guy to follow. He puts encouraging words. He writes scripture on there. So, Wayne, this has been great. I can't thank you enough for taking time out of your day. I know you were busy and just visiting with me. And there's going to be, look, you know what? There's going to be at least one person, I promise you, there's going to be one person that's going to message you or going to message me and say, wow, that gave me a whole new perspective and gave me a whole new outreach and way of looking at life. So, Wayne, I appreciate you being on here and thanks for taking the time.
Thank you. Thank you for the opportunity to share.
You bet. Hey, remember?